Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. I just want to stop right there, and I think I don't really have any points, but I think the main point of this is, why worry?
Amen.
There's a lot of times when you're just living your life and things go good, and it's real easy to just give it to God then, but when the times get a little rough, when things don't go exactly like you planned it to, I mean, you younger kids, you're in school. I'm in school too, but you guys are still in that stage where you've got all this ahead of you, and you might not worry about where I'm going to be in 5 years or what job I'm going to have or what my family life's going to be like. And but if you just stick in this mindset that God's got it all under control.
Go ahead.
If you would have asked me 2 years ago where I'd be right now, I wouldn't have told you Camden Baptist Church, honestly. My family moved here 3 years ago, and in my mind, it was the worst thing that happened. Honestly, I'm being honest tonight. I left my old school, my old church, all my family. And I was so worried about trying to get out of the house and go back to Jacksonville, where I came from. And now, I've got new friends. A church where God shows up every service. I got better friends than what I had before. I've got a new family. All this time I was spent worrying, and God had it all under control. What I thought was bad happened to be the best thing that could have happened to me. I don't think you guys realize just how much every person here means to me, honestly. The other day, my mom messaged me on Facebook, and she told me that someone in the church had just bragged on me. Oh, man. I'm glad. Every once in a while, just someone comes up to me and encourages me. They'll tell me, thank you for what you're doing. And honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing. Man. I just want to thank the church for just everything they've done for me. And Miss Martha and you and your family taking me in. I don't know where I'd be if just it hadn't happened like this, but this is the best thing that could have happened to me. And I just want to thank God for it.
Turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, turn over to John. We walk by faith and not by sight. Turn over to John 9, 1 through 7. And it reads, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man from which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Then he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He was a blind man, so obviously he couldn't see where he was going. Every step he took was a step of faith. The Bible doesn't say, but I like to think he stumbled. I think he fell, but he made it there, obviously, because the Bible says he came seeing. As he tripped and fell and stumbled, God picked him up each and every time. Brother Donnell, not so long ago, he said, if God can use a blind man, if a blind man can walk by faith and not by sight, so can we. Turn over to Genesis 22. Verses 2 to 3. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I think I can stop right there. A man who prayed for a son. God gave it to him, and God asked him to give him back. And it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. It doesn't say Abraham said, God, why? Abraham had faith. You may say Abraham wasn't a blind man. Yes, he was. He didn't see what was going to happen to Moriah. He didn't see it. He didn't know that because of his obedience and his faith, he get to keep his son. Look at verse 15. Let's see what happened. Because of his obedience. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing it will be blessed in thee, and I multiplying, I will multiply thy seed in the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea shore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. The Lord multiplied his seed for his faith and obedience. I'm not a parent, but I know that wasn't easy for him. Abraham sat it pretty hard. Had to give up his son, woke up next to the ugly sister, lost his wife. But every step he took was a step of faith. Young people, you got school tomorrow. Before I step down, I want to ask you a question. How you walking? By faith or by sight? Thank you.
If you were to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 1-2. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise. I want to take this time to thank the Lord for saving me, for telling me which way to go. I thank the Lord for giving me this verse. And I have a couple points here. When it says, children, obey your parents. Now, me, I have a hard time with that. But through the years, the Lord has shown me how good my mother has been to keep me in her home and care for me. The second point I have here is when it says, this is the commandment with promise. I've looked up the commandments many times before, and I've always had a question. Why is it the commandment with promise? And since I've been coming here, I now know it is the commandments with promise because it longs your days on the earth. So, children, I have one question. Do you obey your parents? Do you follow the Bible?
I just want to stand and thank the Lord for allowing Brother Edward to allow me to be up here to preach. Thank you, brother. I'm going to be preaching out of Jeremiah chapter number 20. Jeremiah chapter number 20. I want to thank the Lord for moving me down here, actually. And it had been a burden on my heart. I'd been praying to stay down here, down in southeast Georgia. The Lord answered my prayer. I got my orders the other day, and they're staying here, so, amen. I remember just a couple months ago, I asked Brother Jared Dixon. I'd known him for a little while. I was like, you're from this area, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, well, what's a church I can go to down here? And he told me of this one, and I came one day. And I love it here. It reminds me a lot of my home church. I just want to thank y'all for everything y'all doing, for being so friendly. Now, if you're in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter number 20, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to be reading through verse number 9. Sam, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormissabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make of thee a terror to thyself and to thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give, which shall spoil them into the hand of their enemies, and shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. Now Pashur and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon. And there shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hath prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made of reproach unto me, and derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of his name, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Can I tell you, if I had to label this message, it would be, I can't quit. Can I tell you, in verse number 2, we noticed that here that Jeremiah is going to be smoked. We noticed that he's going through some persecution. We noticed that the king was going to persecute him. we're gonna have to face a little prosecution as a Christian. Can I tell you, just this week I was telling Brother David this morning, hey, can I tell you, we're gonna face a prosecution. Earlier this week I was talking with a lot of my classmates. And majority of them don't even believe there's a God. But can I tell you, they know one thing. They know that I believe there's a God. Can I tell you, they know that Brother Allen knows his Bible. Can I tell you, every time they tried to prove me something wrong, I just go to my room and just open up my Bible. And I just lay there and weep in my Bible because I ain't know enough to argue with these guys. There was five or six of them piling up on me. It'd be like going into a fight with five or six people. I'm a big guy, but I can't take five or six people at a time. But can I tell you, they was ganging up on me. And I went to my Bible and I just opened it up and laid my face in it and started praying. And can I tell you, every time that they had something the next day, I always had a response. The Lord spoke through me. Hey, can I tell you, one of them asked me about Jesus. He asked me about what Jesus done for me. And so I told him. And I told him that Jesus would save him too. And I'm praying that one day he'll come to church with me and he'll get saved too. Amen. Now if we look down a little farther here, in verse number 7, it said, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed, and I am in derision daily. Can I tell you what that word derision means? It means contemptuous, ridicule, or mockery. He was getting ridiculed every day. He was getting mocked every day. He was ready to throw in the towel. He was ready to wave that white flag. He was ready to just give it all in. Who wouldn't? Wouldn't you be ready to give it all in? Think about being Job, having everything taken from you. Everything taken from you. Hey, can I tell you, I ain't never had everything taken from me, but I guarantee that if I had everything taken from me, it'd be real easy to just say, Lord, I give in. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Hey, and at the end of the day, you know what Job said? Blessed be the name of the Lord. It'd be real easy. Hey, I'm not going to be real spiritual and say, I don't know what I'd do if everything was taken from me. But at the end of the day, Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I tell you, in verse number 8, which deeper since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. He wanted injustice, justice. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. That's what his flesh wanted. But we read a little farther, it says, because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. There's that word derision again. But can I tell you what the word reproach means? It means the expression of rebuke or disapproval. The Lord was made a reproach unto me. He felt like God was just against everything he had done at this point. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with weeping. Hey, I liked what Brother Ian did tonight. That was good. That helped me. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with weeping. But hey, Jeremiah said, I'm tired of nobody listening. Everybody's just making fun of me just because I believe in something that nobody can wrap their mind around. But Jeremiah believed. And we notice here in verse number 9, it said, Then I said, I will not make mention of his name, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not say. Hey, can I tell you, Jeremiah said he ain't going to live for Jesus no more. He ain't going to live for him no more. He said, I can't even mention his name without being ridiculed and mocked. We notice here, he said, I'm sure better. I bet he thought he was better off without God at this point. He had been smoked. He had been tortured at this point. We notice here Jeremiah probably thought he was better off without God. He thought probably before he even had God in his life that was a better time because he wasn't ridiculed and mocked. Can I tell you, when you're out here going to school and going to work each day, it's easy to give in to the temptation of this world. It's easy to just go out and want to go party every weekend. Can I tell you, it's easy to want to go out and sin every weekend. It's easy to want to go out just on the weeknights and sin. We're going to have people at work. We're going to have people at school that's going to tempt us. Can I tell you, when I was in school, I always wanted to be the cool kid. I wanted all these friends. And I had all these friends. But you look at me now and I don't even talk to maybe one or two of them. I only talk to one or two of them anymore. And I thought I was hanging out with the cool kids. I thought I was hanging out with the popular crowd, the ones who are really my friends. I just, every time I read this, it just reminds me of a few years ago. I remember getting a phone call right before school, and my pastor called me. And he says, "Hey, Brother Allen." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Our church just burned down." And I had just woken up at this point. That's the first thing I hear. Besides, "Hey, Alan, get up. It's time to go to school." And I just kind of ignore him, you know. But I get a phone call from him. I saw it was my pastor's name. I was like, well, it's got to be something important for it to be this early for him to call me. And he said, "Alan, the church burned down." I remember I missed the first couple hours of school. So I go up there with the church. I remember laying there on the grass just praying to God, like, "Lord, why?" You know, it would have been real easy to just give up. It would have been real easy just to quit right there. But can I tell you, the Lord blessed us. Hey, can I tell you, in order for things to grow, you got to burn them off a little bit. We had had our name stomped on in the mud. We had some problems going on in the church, and it wasn't allowing people to, there weren't many people coming to our church at this point. But can I tell you, after that church burned down, we had people start coming. We changed the name of the church, and can I tell you, it would have been real easy for my pastor to have just gave up. But can I tell you, the Lord blessed us abundantly. I just remember being out there on that grass just praying with my youth group. Us just all weeping. It had been real easy to just quit, brother. I remember when my youth pastor died, it had been real easy to just quit. It was my senior year. It had been real easy for me just to quit. But I remember reading this verse somewhere along the line. The Ward family actually has a song about this verse here called "I Can't Quit When There's a Fire Burning in Me." Hey, I'm thankful for that fire that keeps burning in my soul. Hey, I'm glad that it's shut up in me and it can't leave. Hey, man. I'm going to end this here with Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 30. It said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me that in that land. I should not destroy it, but I found none." If we don't continue to stand in this gap where these old-fashioned Christians were, if we quit and we don't stand where these old-fashioned Christians were, hey, if we don't fill in where these old-fashioned Christians are, if we just give it up real easy, hey, our generation ain't going to know what Jesus did. They ain't going to know the truth. Hey, can I tell you? They ain't going to know the truth. They're only going to know what the world has to offer. They're only going to know what's the perverted version of the gospel. Jeremiah's family plotted against him, but he still said, "I can't quit. There's something burning down in me." How many of you would want to quit at this point? How many of you would quit at this point if your family turned their back on you and wanted to plot against you? I can't quit.
Open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Samuel, starting chapter number 15. Read you a small passage here, starting verse number 13. "And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." As you read this story, The story is about Absalom, David's son, who had stolen the hearts of the men of Israel. The captain was on the inside. David was on the inside of the castle, and Absalom would just wait at the gate. He'd wait at the gate. And as the men of the tribe of Israel, they'd come up to the gate to see the king. To see Israel's king, the anointed of God. Absalom would wait there and say, "Hey, king's busy right now, but I can help you right here. Just go ahead and you tell me your problem, and I'll tell you what you ought to do."
Yeah.
I mean, he's busy. Don't worry about it. I can help you right here. And Absalom had stole the hearts of the men of Israel. This goes on for some time, and David appoints Absalom over a certain portion. He appoints him. And Absalom gains this great control here. And he says, "You know what? I don't believe we need you no more." So then it begins that Absalom has gathered up these thousands of men and he runs the king out of his own kingdom. And I want to just look at for a little while three simple things. The first one, you better choose your side. We look at this story and oftentimes we don't think of all the way back to the beginning of time, but I want to go back that far. I want to go all the way back. I want to go back to the garden. I want to go all the way back to the garden. Man had been there for so long, and God had blessed him, and God had fulfilled everything he ever wanted. But he wanted to know something. And one day, instead of waiting for the king, when he came to the gate, he found somebody standing there just waiting for him. And he said, "You know, the king's busy right now, but I can help you out. Just tell me your problem, and I'll give you the answer." Christian, when you go to church, or when you go to school tomorrow, you're going to be looking for answers on something. And I promise you, when you get to that gate, somebody's going to stand there and say, "The king's busy, but I can help you right here with whatever you need." I promise. They'll be there. So I'm saying, you got to choose a side. Because the devil is wanting to steal you away from the king. He's wanting to take control here. So I want you to choose your side. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the king? Will you serve the anointed of God? Or will you take that answer waiting at the gate? I'd like to see that it looks like the king is on the run. It looks like the king is on the run in America, but I want to look at your soul for a second. Something's starting to turn inside of you. Because you came to the gate and you found Absalom standing there waiting for you. And you went ahead and you took his advice and "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." I don't believe it's yours then. I believe it's the Lord's. So you got this answer and it starts burning inside. And there starts this conflict. And as it goes on, all of a sudden, you're looking at a rather large army of things that contradict the king. So as we progress on to here, 2 Samuel, I think it's 18 is what I'm looking for. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth the third part to the people under the hand of Joab, and the third part to the people under the hand of Abishai and the son of Zeruiah and Joab's brother, and the third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. You have to choose your side. You choose your side. You don't just get to pick it like it's a sports team. You don't get to wait for 2015 to be, you know, an Alabama fan. That's wicked. Okay? You ain't never done nothing. You ain't never going to do nothing for Alabama. They'll be fine either way, with or without you. Okay? All right, so, now that I've done got a bit right. All right. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. And it's not just so simple as saying I'm going to sit on the right side of the church because this is where my friends are, or it's I'm going to sit on the left side of the church because that's where my parents are. It's got to be, I'm sitting on this side because this is where the king's at. And you got to be willing to take a stand with it or else you'll just get snatched away. They didn't just say, hey, I'm going to go with the king and we're going to go over here for a little while, then we're magically just going to move back into Jerusalem. It didn't happen like that. They went to war. And what I'm saying here is, once you choose your side, you've got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to take a stand. You got to be willing when you go down to that schoolhouse tomorrow to say, no. No, I don't believe I'll do that, Mr. Absalom. I believe I'll go with the King of all glory. Hey, the King that was, the same King that was in Genesis that's in Revelation. That God that stepped out in the middle of nothing and spoke into existence the very universe that we see now. I'm going to go with the king. You have to fight. It's going to be a hard fight. 2 Samuel 19. I'll get that in a second. It's a hard battle. It's a hard battle you fought. And it seems that the enemy is winning on every side. You're outnumbered 7-1 every day of the week. You've been whipped up one side, down the other. The devil's told you you're going to lose. Hey, there ain't no hope. He's going to say this is the end. But can I let you know this is not the end. This is not the final chapter right here. Absalom does not win this battle. You just keep on showing up. You just keep on going with the king. You just keep on going with the king. You just keep on going with the king. And you fight. And you fight. And you, day after day after day, you go with the king and you fight until 2 Samuel chapter number 19, verse number 15. So the king, can I let you know something? This battle ain't over. Hey, friend, the king, he's coming back. Hey, the king, he's coming back to take over his kingdom. I said the king is coming back for you. Choose your side. You go ahead and keep in mind, boys, that the king is coming back. And when you're going through the battle, and it seems like you've been whipped on every side, and you're getting beat down, the king is coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I got saved at 10 years old. November the 15th, 2007, I knelt down right over here in this corner. Got saved. The preacher preaching was preaching on, it's all right. Well, I say, he was preaching on the Lord coming back. Hey, the king's going to come back. He's going to come back on a white horse and a white robe. On his vesture and on his side is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to come back with a fire in his eyes and a sword protruding out of his mouth. And that night I didn't get saved because I was scared of hell, believe it or not. I did not get saved under the fear of hell. I got saved under the fear of God's wrath. Hey, can I let you know, neighbor, the king's coming back. And when he does, he's coming back in his full power and glory. The king's coming back. And he's coming back. And for those who are faithful to him, for those of them that just fought the battle the best they could, he's coming back with grace and mercy for you. Now I'm telling you, and for 1,000 years, we're going to shout, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come." I have no fear of the battle today. I know which side I'm on. They sang that song earlier. I'm on the winning side. I know I'm on the winning side. And I know at the end of the day, at the end of this battle, when it's all said and done, when time passes over and it is no more, I know that my King, my King, my King is coming back. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for His promises. I thank Him for His goodness.